has been recorded in front of a live studio audience. I've wanted to say that now for about 12 weeks, I think. Yeah, I'm excited that we actually have people in the room, and the only person I don't have to look at is Kyle. That gets hard. But I do, I want to thank those guys, our band. They're amazing. When I said, hey, when we start meeting again, I want to do three services, and one of them is going to be on Thursday night. They didn't even blink an eye. They said, okay, we'll do it. So I appreciate them and their willingness to serve the way that they do. Tonight, though, we're beginning a brand new series called A Way Out. And I just kind of want to give you a little bit of what we're going to be talking about over the next 4 weeks as we do that. The whole series is already written, and it's come from, if you remember, if you were here, if you listened online, the last sermon I preached in 2019 was on the fruits of the Spirit. And I said, one of the fruits of the Spirit that I'm going to work on, I challenged everybody to choose one of these fruits of the Spirit to work on, was gentleness. And I'm going to tell you, it has been hard for me to be gentle. And I failed many times. Because my default, if you know me very well, my default is jerk. Like it is. Like I want to be a jerk. Like, see, my son's shaking his head. Like, he knows. Like, it is so hard for me to not be a jerk. And through this whole thing, the last 20 weeks or 15 weeks or 10 weeks, whatever it's been, it feels like it's been a year, I've been tempted more than I ever have been to be a jerk. I've been on edge, I've been stressed out, and I just want to be a jerk. And I don't know if looking back on that, that's God like saying, hey, you wanted to work on gentleness, buddy, here you go. You can have it. So I've been doing that. And so I wanted to write a series or find a series and preach a series on temptation and what that looks like. And several times throughout a year, what I do is I'll preach and then I'll hit temptation, maybe one sermon, and then I'll move on. But I wanted to do four of them on that. And what I think will happen, whether you're here or you're watching online, that I think after 4 weeks as we dive into this topic, I think that I'm going to see some lives that have been significantly changed because of what God can do. Like, we're going to discover that our God is faithful no matter what we're trapped in, no matter what is holding us back. And it could be something for you that nobody knows about. Maybe you've never told anybody this thing that you struggle with. Or it could be something that everybody knows and it's just annoying you. But as I want to tell you, God always gives us a way out. Like, I would venture to say that everybody at one level or another has something in their life that is consistently there that should not be there. Okay, and I don't know what it is, but maybe let's just throw some out there. Maybe it's alcohol for you. And there are some people that can have one or two drinks every once in a while and put it away, and they're good with that. But for other people, that's a problem. And like, you go home and every day you have to drink something, and you have a problem with that. It could be substance. It could be something that you're smoking that you shouldn't be smoking, or that you're shooting something and popping pills or something along those lines. For some other people, it could be that you lie. And you don't even know why you lie, but you just lie. You tell a lie to cover up a lie, and before long, like, you don't even know what the truth is anymore because you just lie all the time. Like, there are so many people, quite honestly, that have eating issues. And it could be grossly overeating, or it could be a simple sugar addiction that you just can't seem to get past. And you just continually eat things that you shouldn't eat. For some of you, it could be gossip. And you just want to talk and talk about people and talk about people and talk about people. And I've read your Facebook and I've seen a lot of that. For all of us, you don't have to look probably any deeper than about three or four people that are close to you. But someone in that statistics that has some type of sexual addiction. Like, all over the world, there are people looking at things that they shouldn't be looking at. And some of you are just moments away from acting out because you're visualizing things that you should never, ever see. For some people, it's spending, and you're in debt massively, and you just keep spending and spending and spending and spending and spending. And you think, man, I should stop. But you don't seem to be able to stop, and you just continue to spend and spend. Maybe for some, and I'm trying to hit as many as I can, maybe for some it's gambling. And now with online gambling and casinos, it's easier than before. And you think, man, I can control this. But then you lose more than you should. As innocent as it seems for a lot of you, it's your phones and social media. Like, you can't even have a conversation with somebody without having this thing up in your face and just flipping your thumb. One day the thing is just going to fly off because you wore it out. And it doesn't seem like a big deal, but you have no idea how much it's robbing from you, because you can't have an intimate conversation or intimate relationship with anybody because you're just doing this your whole life. And I don't know what it is for you, but I would venture to say that every one of us has something that shouldn't be there. And I want to let God's word speak to us tonight. And we're going to jump up from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. This is what Paul said, and it's so powerful. He said this: if you think you are standing firm, or so be careful, when you think you are standing firm, you might fall. He says, no temptation, are you tempted in the same way that all other human beings are. And it says, God is faithful. God's faithful. When we're faithless, God is faithful. He says, he will not let you be tempted any more than you can take. But when you are tempted, God will give you a way out so that you can stand up under it. And what I hope that we'll understand is that every time there is a temptation, there is always a way out. Every single time that you're tempted to do something that would be harmful to you, harmful to others, harmful to the heart of God, there is a way out. And I want to tell you where we're going in this series. Today, tonight, is going to be simple. I'm going to set up the series and build a foundation. Next week, we're going to look at resisting, and we're going to find throughout Scripture how we can do our part to put up this impenetrable wall against the attack of the enemy. We're going to ask ourselves, why in the world would we ever resist a temptation tomorrow that we can eliminate today? Why are we going to put up with something tomorrow? Why are we going to worry about something tomorrow when we have the ability to get rid of it today? And we're going to do everything we can to distance ourselves from sin. Week three, we're going to kind of go massively spiritual. And we're going to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit and the role that the Holy Spirit plays in our life and temptation. And then in week four, we're going to look at what happens as what we feed grows and what we starve dies. What we feed grows and what we starve dies. And we're going to look at three things that every follower of Jesus needs to do to feed their spirit so that the spirit is greater than the flesh. And we're going to look at God's word and let his power help set us free. Because whenever you're tempted, then God is faithful. He will always make a way out. And I absolutely believe with all my heart, whether it's people in the room or people watching online, that there are going to be many people that are going to be different because of God's word and his power and his presence in their lives. So, simple definition, if you're taking notes, what is temptation? And there are a lot of definitions for it. This is only one, and this is one we're going to work with. It is anything that promises satisfaction at the cost of obedience to God. Temptation is anything that promises satisfaction at the cost of being obedient to God. Like, what happens, actually, science has told us this, that when you give in to whatever your temptation is, like, oftentimes your brain releases a little chemical called dopamine, and it gives you a hit or a buzz or a thrill. So you want it, you make the purchase, you want to look, so you take a look, you want to say it because it feels good to say it, I just got to rant, I just got to vent. Your brain rewards you when you do that with a little bit of dopamine. And there's a thrill, and there's a buzz, and there's a high, and then there's a moment, and you're like, oh, I'm satisfied, I feel good. But that's followed by, I shouldn't have done that. I feel bad about that. Then there's the guilt, the regret, and the shame. And many of you know that cycle. You want it, I should get it, I should do it, but then I feel bad about it, and I feel guilty about it. So what is temptation? Temptation is anything that promises satisfaction at the cost of obedience to God. And as we build on that foundation, I just want to four truths about temptation that I want to tell you. And the first truth that we need to embrace is this, that it's not a sin to be tempted. It's not a sin to be tempted. In Hebrews 4:15, it says this. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." In other words, Jesus was tempted just like we are. But being tempted is not the same as sinning. And we have to understand that, because our spiritual enemy, he will use what I like to call false guilt to make us feel guilty when we shouldn't feel guilty. And for example, eating a donut is not a sin. Like if you're learning to eat healthy and you're convicted that, hey, I don't want to eat a donut, and so you walk into to work, I would say church, but we're not allowed to have donuts anymore. And there's a dozen chocolate frosted donuts sitting on the counter, and you walk by and they're calling your name. Like you're sitting at your desk and they're still calling your name. Like, eat me. Like I want one. And you look at one and you make up your mind and you walk by and you don't eat one. You did not sin. You were tempted, but you did not sin. Now, if you pick one up and smell it, is that a sin? Like, I don't know. You're getting too technical. But if you lick the chocolate off the top, like, that probably crosses the line. I don't know. Or you're driving down the road, ladies, and you see a guy with no shirt on and he's jogging. Or guys, you see go-go pants girl and whatever, and you think, man, I better turn around and make sure they get across the road okay. If you do that, you probably went too far. But if you're driving down the road and you see an attractive person and you keep on driving, you didn't sin. Like, you were tempted, but you didn't sin. See, to be tempted is not the same. And what our spiritual enemy wants to do is he wants us to feel guilty. Like, I did wrong. Because then when we feel guilty, what do we often do? Then we medicate our guilt with sin. Well, I already did that, so I might as well keep going. I already feel bad, so I might as well do a little bit more. So don't let false guilt bring something on you that should not be there. So it's not a sin to be tempted. The second thing is this, is that you have to understand that you are never above temptation. You are never above temptation. Like, I don't care who you are, you're not above temptation. Verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 10 says, "So be careful, because when you think you are standing firm, you might fall." If you're kicking back and you're going, man, I can't wait to, I got someone to share this with and they need to hear it so bad. Like, I know somebody who needs to hear this sermon. Like, you better be careful. Because none of us are above temptation. Our spiritual enemy will come at us in our weaknesses, and it'll also come at us in our strengths. How often do you see the great family guy who really does love his family end up doing something stupid? You know, what happened? He was overconfident in his strength. Whenever you see a doctor who understands medicine and he really cares about health and he gets hooked on prescription medication, why? He or she overestimated their strengths. Our enemy will come at you in your weaknesses, but he'll also come at you at your strengths. Never, ever, ever think you're above temptation. In fact, so often there are people that think, I would never get involved, I would never do this, or I would never do that. And they're the people that often fall the hardest and the fastest. Like, we've got to guard against self-confidence. Because our heart, the Bible tells us, is deceitful above all things. Like, we never know when we're going to be vulnerable. And listen, honestly, all of us, we have no idea what we're capable of. Any single one of us is capable of the grossest sin given the right environment. Every single one of us. We're not above temptation. I preached an awesome message one time on anger. And I don't call my messages awesome very often, but it was really an awesome message. Like, it was great. Like, I was basking in the glory of God of how great that message was that day. Like, and I went home and I came in and one of my kids said something stupid, which happens because they're teenagers. And I lost it. Like, I threw like a temper tantrum on them. And I got angry after preaching on anger. And Jennifer looked at me and said, "Pastor Josh." Now, anytime Jennifer calls me Pastor Josh, it's not a term of encouragement or endearment. I said, "Pastor Josh, you should listen to your own sermon on anger." Like, I'll show you anger. But like right after I preached on anger, I was most vulnerable to the very sin that I just preached on. So you're not above it. Like, so number one is it's not a tempted sin to be tempted. Number two is you're never above temptation. Number three, we need to understand that God will never tempt you. God will never tempt you. Well, God's tempting me. God's tempting me. No, no, no. That's not God. God will test you, but he will not tempt you. And there's a difference. Why do you test someone? Like you're in junior high and you got your final test. Like, why do we test you? To promote you. Like, we test you to move you forward. God tests us to move us forward. Satan tempts us to move us backwards. See, there's a big, big difference. God's not going to put a temptation to sin in front of you, but God may test you. Are you going to be obedient in this? Are you going to be faithful in this? The test is not a temptation. In fact, James said it this way in James 1:13. He said, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each of us is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. So I'm a good person. Well, technically, no, you're dead wrong. You're a bad, sinful person. And so am I. Like, we are bent away from God. We have this sinful nature in us. Like, you don't have to teach a two-year-old to be selfish. All right, today we're going to have selfish lessons. I'm going to take your toy away, and when I do, I want you to scream, mine! Like, no, you don't have to teach that. Why? Because by nature, we're not very good people. Temptation comes from our own desires that entice us and drag us away. I want that. I want that. I need that. And we're dragged away, and then that desire gives birth to a sinful action. And it starts with desire, sinful action, but it leads to death. That sounds pretty dramatic, doesn't it? Sounds pretty dramatic. But you ask any married couple where someone let sin in the door and where that sin led them. See, sin never makes life better. Sin always destroys. You know, it promises satisfaction, but it costs obedience to God. Well, this is going to be fun. This is going to spice up your marriage. This is going to help. This is going to help me relax. This is going to make me feel better. This is going to make me feel more special. The hit, the buzz comes for a moment, and it does, but then it starts to unravel and it leads to death. Like, this is very, very powerful. Every temptation is an invitation to depend on Christ. Like, every temptation is an invitation to depend on Christ. When you're tempted, the Bible says that God is faithful. He will always give you a way out. Every time you're tempted to do whatever is disobedient to God, it's an invitation to depend on Christ. Because listen, in your own fleshly nature, you don't always have the ability to say no to temptation. Every temptation is an invitation to depend on Christ. He will test us. He wants to see if we're obedient, but he never tempts us. Satan tempts us by our own evil desires. So every temptation is an invitation to depend on Christ. So it's not a sin to be tempted. You're never above temptation. God will never tempt you. And the fourth one is this, and it's the title of our series, there's always a way out. Like, no matter what, there's always a way out. No matter what you're facing, no matter what gross sin has you hostage, no matter what small, annoying thing that everybody knows about has its grips on you, there is always, always, always a way out. 1 Corinthians 10:13, for our God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted any more than you can take. But when you are tempted, what will he do? He will give you a way out so that you can stand up under it. And what would your way out be? I don't know. But I'm here to tell you that there's always a way out. It may be confessing. Like the Bible says, whoever conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. You know, we confess to God for forgiveness. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We confess to people for healing. James said, if you confess your sins to one another and pray for each other, you may be healed. It might be that for some of you, you have to take a big risk and say, you know what? I'm going to tell somebody. I'm going to tell somebody something I've never told them before, that I need help. Sometimes it's just admitting it. Some people, whether you're here or you're watching online, the people have told you, hey, you've got a problem. You've got a problem, and you've gone, no, I don't have a problem. I'm good. Listen, if two or three people have told you you have a problem, you got a problem. Admit it. For some of you, it may be therapy or rehab. You know, it's deep, and you've tried and you've tried and you've tried to get over it on your own, and you can't. For some of you, it's going to be accountability. You need someone that can kick your butt. You may need two someone who can kick your butt. Someone that's going to get in your face and hold you accountable for the way that you act and speak. For some of it, it may be repentance. And I'm not talking about remorse. I'm talking about true repentance. Remorse is, hey, I'm sorry I got caught. Repentance is God says, I'm sorry. God, I need your help. God, the way I've been living, the way I've been thinking, the way I've been talking, it is wrong. I need your help. I need your mercy. I need your grace. Whatever it is, listen to me. There's a way out. There is a way out. Our God is faithful, and there's always a way out. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and I'm going to pray this morning, tonight, whatever we're doing, wherever we're at. And my challenge is that if you need to take that next step, that you would do it. If God is saying, hey, this is your way out, this is your way out, do it. And maybe that's come down here. Maybe that's leave and make a phone call. I don't know what that is. But if God's saying, hey, this is your way out, I want you to act on it. Father God, today, we're thankful. God, we're thankful that you always give us a way out. We're thankful that you are always faithful, even when we're faithless. Even when, God, it doesn't make sense what our next step is. God, you say if we take it, that we'll do it. Father, I pray for everyone that is hearing this message. Father, I pray that you would show them clearly their way out. From whatever it is that's holding them back, whatever it is that is destroying them, whatever it is that is causing them shame and guilt and regret, Father, I pray that you would show them their way out. And for some, it's going to be the very first time that they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, that he paid the price for their sin, that in Christ there is no condemnation, there is no guilt for those who are in Christ Jesus. Father, I pray you'd speak clearly to us. Thank you for all that you've done and all that you will continue to do because you are faithful. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen.
You are not hidden. There's never been a moment you were forgotten. You are not hopeless. You have been broken, your innocence stolen. I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear your SOS, your SOS. I will send out an army to find you in the middle of the darkest night. It's true. Thank you. hear